All right, you ready for the message?
Yes.
All right, let's go. So, Lord, I just ask you to take this time that you just bless us with your word, that you bless us with your presence and understanding of what you have for us. You've shared so much in the past, and you just continue to keep showing yourself and revealing who you are. I just pray for that to continue. I'll let these words, Lord, just bless you and what's being said. And all this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So, part one, like why Jesus came, was pretty, what I feel is like the primary reason why Jesus came, is to save us, right? And to do that. So we talked about that and how he redeemed us, how we were justified, how we've got his righteousness, all that stuff is done. But there's so much more. And I kind of feel like God is one of those things where, you know, you ask for one little thing, and the Lord doesn't give one little thing. He gives, you know, whole bunch of things. So when you ask for like just for a coolness, you know, or just a little bit of rain when it's a drought and stuff like that, you know, what he does? What does he do? He brings the storms. He brings the rain that we need to have to nourish us in more ways than what can possibly happen. And I think that's true, very much so. When Jesus came, Jesus didn't come just to save us, although that was the primary reason. There was just so many other blessings that come with it as well. Because not only is he coming to save us, but he's coming to share with us all that he has, and to bring, you know, an essence of what heaven is like, or you know what the things are that we will eventually inherit, have come down to this world. I want you to know too that the things that I have here are not the complete list of everything. All right, so there's more to it. Not that I don't feel we need to go into it, but I feel like this will give us enough of a picture of what Jesus was able to do while he was here on this earth, or even after he has died and rose again, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father and allows the Holy Spirit to work with us. So the first one I've got is that he came to show us the Father. Right, so, and, like, what does that even mean? Well, we don't get to see God the Father physically, but we can see his character. And how do we see God's character? But by seeing his character through Jesus himself. Because Jesus, remember, he said that he says, "I only do what the Father tells me to do," which means he only acts and responds the way his Father has told him to do it. So that's a perfect representation of who the Father is by seeing who Jesus is. And so Jesus, in his ministry, in the whole time of his entire life, right? He is just reflecting or being, you know, the actual presence of God here on this earth. And so we get to be able to witness that through Scripture, and we've made videos of that to be able to see those things that Scripture has. But you think about this and the time that when even the disciples were questioning, you know, when Jesus was speaking about having to go back to his Father, and Jesus says, you know the way. You can't follow me, but you know where I'm going. And Thomas is like, well, how can we follow you? How do we know the way? And Jesus comes back and says, "I am the way, the light, and the truth." I'm just in that order there, but and it's only through me that you can come to the Father. And so, you know, Thomas is kind of put out in the sense that we want to physically go there to meet the Father. But what Jesus is saying, he says that if you see me, right, then you'll see the Father. You go through to the Father through me. So that all of the things that we do, that's why we always end our prayers, you know, in the name of Jesus, through your Son Jesus, you know, because it's through Jesus that we get to the Father. And then Philip even asks, you know, a question. And right here in John 14, is 8 through 11, he says, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us," right? We tend to think that would just be enough. And it's like, we know that's not enough, right? Because it's almost like saying, well, if I just win the lottery, that will be enough. But we always know, it's like, well, those people that do win the lottery, what do? They continue to play the lottery in order to win more and stuff. But even in our lives and stuff, sometimes that doesn't seem like enough. But you know what Jesus does? Just like a regular parent, he says, no. He says, what you're asking isn't the right question. Right? So what Philip wants to do is just be able to see that, see the Father. And when we can see the Father, because remember, in the Old Testament, that it stated that if you saw the Father, if you saw God, you would die. Because God is just so holy. There's just so much goodness in there that we as humans wouldn't be able to stand that. But Jesus answered him and says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Now here's an individual, Philip, and even Thomas, who are unsure, you know, who the Father is, because yeah, they can see Jesus and you see the great works in there. But you have to realize that there's a connection between Jesus and the Father that is so tight. And the Spirit within Jesus is so tight that we call that the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All are God, all are one. It's, you know, three Godheads in one. And we have, you know, in a way, a hard time understanding that because it doesn't make sense to us human-wise. But God is not human, is He? He's more than that. And so, you know, we have ways and examples to, you know, explain that Trinity that's in there. But if we just accept that Jesus is God, then all of a sudden we can start to see God the Father in Jesus and realizing that is who He is. We don't have to question it. We don't have to really ask for more. However, God will show more because that's His character. Right? When we get to a point of Him calling us and that we accept that calling, what does God do? But He reveals Himself to us in some very powerful ways. So the born again Christian that's just been born, all of a sudden they've got this, you know, life in them that they never had before because they can see God, you know, through Jesus, and they're holding on to that because now all of a sudden things are making sense. That His Word is coming alive. That you start to look not through your own eyes, but you start looking through the eyes of God and seeing things through Him. Because now you have that connection the way Jesus has the connection. That He is in the Father and the Father is in Him, and then Jesus is within us. And then we have the Father. And that whole connection is right there. So for Him to be able to come to earth, part of His mission is to reveal the Father through Himself. There's doubt sometimes because we have been taught many things from our childhood all the way up. This is God, this is how you do things, and this is how we're supposed to respond. And we're trained, literally, how to worship. What we forget is that sometimes we're trained in man's way on how to worship. And we need to learn to just trust God and worship the way that He wants us to. And so that's okay. So Loretta, you know, there's times you got to get up, move around, right? And dance while there's some songs or there's something that's going on. That is perfectly fine. And, you know, and for others, maybe you want your stance at the time is just to have that solitude and that holiness. That is perfectly fine, right? There's no one set standard to be able to do that. However, what we're looking at is understanding is to find that character of God that Jesus has been amplifying through Scripture. So if we don't have Scripture, you know, can we find Jesus or, you know, God the Father? Of course we can. Do we need Scripture? It helps. Right? It gives us the grounding so that we don't go off. It's so important to have Scripture with it. But to have Scripture without God, that doesn't work. You know, just to read it as a book and stuff, it isn't the sense that we need to have. What we need is God and the presence of God and to see the Father. And we can see Him through the Scripture that we've got here, which is really important. And you think about this, where we have two disciples that are so close with Jesus, and they didn't quite get it. You know, they saw all the works and everything that Jesus was doing. But sometimes we just need to be told, it's enough. What we have is enough. Loretta, did you want to share?
Jesus is like that bright yoke, and the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I want to. Every time I open an egg now, I want to remind it of God that had the God had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe that's why God gave us. I think it's like, why is that why He gave us an egg like that? You know, just a reminder of who He is.
Yeah.
He is the God.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and if we could take that example of the egg, and every time we crack an egg, we're thinking of God. You know, every time we think of Jesus, we're thinking of God. You know, and to relating it. Yeah, so that's good. So, all right, something else that why Jesus came. I believe He came to offer grace to us. That's one of the things that we have. We know that before Jesus' resurrection, we lived under the law. And we now live in what we call the New Testament, which is the Testament of grace. And grace, for those people that don't know, is basically being able to receive something that you just don't deserve. It's just given to you. Right? It's a free gift that we have. And you're going to say, well, what is it? What is it that I'm getting out of this Christianity stuff? You know what you're getting? You're getting life. The life that Jesus has given you. Because you've accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior. That He is the only one that can save you. He is, you know, right through Him, as we already mentioned today, is that life. Through Him, there's the forgiveness. Through Him, there's this understanding that we can have of who God is.
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. Thank you.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Oh, cool. Yeah. 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 So obviously other people have been thinking about this too. And it's good because it's important to dwell on the things that God has given us. And grace is a lot because, you know, if we got what we deserve, it would be hell. Just end of story. It would be hell is what we deserve. But because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us, right? He paid the price for that sin, which has allowed us now to live under this realm of grace. Yeah, so there's more to just being saved. And I think that's why there's such a fullness in God that's there. Because we talk about this here in Romans 5:15. It says, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many die by the trespass of one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. When we understand that faith, that grace that God has given us, how can we hold back? There's how many people out there that you know, how many people around you that live around you, or that you come in contact with, that don't know Jesus Christ, that have not accepted Him, or for some reason have, you know, just pushed Him back onto the back burner and stuff. To have been given grace and then to not do anything with it. not respond to the grace that's been given to you, so that you can now, you know, live in a time where you don't have to worry about, you know, the penalty of sin. Yeah, we all make mistakes. There's times that we do sin, right? But remember when we talked before? There's a part of you that can't sin. Right? That's the part of God living in you that is pure and holy. That can never sin. But then there's us. Now we're human and we have our own will. And when our own will seems to supersede that of God's will, that's where we get into trouble. That's where we sin. But because of God's grace that has been given to us, that now we can continue on and not let the past hold us back. And to know that, yeah, we're imperfect vessels, but God knows that, and He still gives us grace. I think this is important to know, that Jesus came to share that with us. And that for us to not take hold of that gift is almost like saying, you know, somebody coming in to your home and they give you a welcoming gift or something like that, and you say, oh, I don't want that. It's like, well, why would you not want? You know, it's a gift. This is a beautiful gift that someone's, you know, taking the time to do and share with you. The right thing is to accept that gift, you know, and just to, you know, whatever it is that the gift is from the individual, we know the gift that God has given us, and why not have that? Another thing that Jesus has given us when He came, He gave us authority. And you can say, what? No, He has given us authority. You know what He's given us authority to? To proclaim the goodness of that, what Jesus came to do. We have the authority to spread the gospel. You know why? Because we own it. You know, it's one thing to give a testimony of something that's happened to you personally, because every moment of that testimony that you're speaking at, you're reliving that experience that you've had. Whatever that testimony is. It's so different, though, when you hear the testimony through a book, which might have been a response to somebody talking about that they heard this testimony and how it moved them. And so you heard the testimony now, third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand. Though it's a great testimony, it's not the same as if you own it. And everybody here has that testimony of when they accepted Christ and the goodness that has been followed them through that, and how God continues, as we were saying earlier, to being faithful to us in our lives. We have that authority to be able to proclaim the gospel. Paul had the authority to be able to do that. He experienced it firsthand, just as we have as well. And we look at this, and it really allows us then to do God's will. Because if the Holy Spirit is residing in us because of the gift that's been given to us, this grace and everything, we then can find the character of God, know what we're supposed to do, and then we can do it. We have the authority to do God's will. Yeah?
There are 66 books in the Bible. We are 67.
Right? We're 67. No, I'm 60, I'm not 67. But I know, I'm just joking. I know what you're saying, Doran. Yeah, we're the continuation of the book of Acts, right? That book of Acts never really ends. And then we continue. And I think that's what you mean, right? Yeah, we are that continued book that's in there. We're living in what was written down through here, right? Ages ago, it's coming up. So let's look and see what we've got here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, he says, for even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. Paul was not ashamed to speak about God and what God has done to him. And he had every authority under the will of God to be able to do that. Man sometimes doesn't like that. Right? Paul was persecuted. Paul was put in jail. Paul was beaten. Paul was whipped. Paul was, you know, gone through tremendous things. Stoned even. Because of his authority to preach the gospel. He did not hold back. Because he had that authority. Because of what Jesus did while he was here. That's why Jesus came. So if you feel you don't have the authority in which to proclaim the gospel, you do. You are that authority. God has given that to you. Don't hold back. You know, let people know, like you're talking about the church down in Star Lake and stuff, you know, it's like, you know, they're holding programs and stuff, inviting people in, letting them know it's the foundation of what they're doing, as we do here, is the gospel. That's how it works. That's where it is. That's what is to be, what's to happen. And that's just a beautiful thing that we have. All right, so why else did Jesus come? Well, he came to abide with us. What does that mean? To live with us. You know? And I should say that. Let me rephrase that. Not with us, in us. All right? So I really want that to be known, that he came so that he could be in us. Remember, we are creatures of sin, if I could say it that way. And if sin hasn't been fixed, then God can't enter us because of that division there between God's holiness and our unholiness. But because Jesus has paid the price now, and because of all that, Jesus came so that he, God, can live in us. And I think that's really, really important to realize. Every one of you are worthy to have God inside you. And it just takes belief to understanding who Jesus is and to be able to put it in. And I'm thinking, like, again, you know, God has just done so much. And he still continues to do so much. We just coming down, Hope and I were like looking at the colors on the trees and stuff. And some trees are just beautiful, you know. And it's just the beauty of this time is I look, you know, we all look forward to it in the, you know, during the summertime. We look forward to the wintertime because we know it's going to be coming. The seasons will continue to come because God said that they will come. Right? There'll be a time for harvest, there'll be a time for reaping, there'll be a time for all of this stuff. And the idea is that when we look at that, we can see that beauty and it stirs something inside of us. You know what it's stirring? Is God's presence. Because we're starting again to see things through his eyes. Let's look at this right here in 1 John 4:15. He says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Oh, that's impossible. God can't live inside of me. Well, guess what? All things are possible. Yeah. All things are possible through him. Yeah. And it's not just a little compartment of God that's living inside you. It is all of God living inside of you. All of it. That's hard to believe. That's hard to concept. But Scripture says that God lives inside in us, right? For those who acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all it takes. It's not, you don't need books upon books upon books to be able to understand this. You don't need a theologian's degree. You don't need 15 years of university. You have to have so many years of experience and stuff. All you need to do is accept that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. God is in you.
Jesus in us, our hope of glory.
Say it again, Pat.
Jesus in us, our hope of glory.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Us, there's no good thing but in him.
How do you hold back? Really, why? Where is this time? I've mentioned it before. We as Christians, we are just moping along on the side street. We should be like bouncing off the walls all the time. We have God inside of us. Yeah.
Your day with that.
Yeah.
That right there, your day would be amazing.
And it's you know, we I don't know if our culture just, you know, tells us, you know, we've got to behave and not make waves or something like that. Forget about our culture. Right? Let God decide what our culture is going to be. Let Him, you know, if He's really inside of us, you know, let Him come out. Overflow, as Marcia was saying, that we're setting in there. Well, let's look and see what else God has done.
Because He's made us a new creation.
He has. Yeah.
New.
Yeah. And that's a beauty part of what God has done. Jesus coming has now given us peace. Peace that, you know, the world doesn't understand. Peace that even sometimes we don't understand. Because even though we are going through struggle after struggle after struggle, there's still something about God being in us that gives us this peace that things are going to be okay. Right? I may die, but I know it's okay. I may go through some struggling things, but I know it's okay. Why? Because I trust God that much. Now there's times He really puts us to the test. Hold tight to God during those times. Even in those times where He doesn't seem to be speaking to us or anything. Because you think about the disciples, after the crucifixion, Jesus was placed where? In a tomb. A place of death. So what did the disciples do? They went up to a room and started to hide, right? And because they were fearful that they themselves were probably going to be put on a stake like Jesus was, and then eventually put into their own tomb of some sort. But look what happens after that resurrection. In John 20, 19 through 20, says, on the evening of that first day of the week, this is after Jesus was crucified, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, right? These guys are fearful of what's going to happen to them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After He said this, He showed them His hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. What was His first words to come back when He came back to His disciples? Peace be with you. I want to let you know that all's good. Death has no reign over me, nor does it have over you either. The fears that you are experiencing, you no longer need to have fear of that. Jesus came so that we can live without fear.
Doors were locked.
Yeah.
And then He came and stood among them. Probably, I mean, that was a wake-up call.
And yep.
They thought He was dead. And
yep.
There it is.
It's kind of like that testimony that comes out, and it's like, how do you explain that to somebody and really get them to feel this, the whole sense of that? Or even when the Holy Spirit comes afterwards, you know, during Pentecost, and how do you explain that to other people? And they see you as being, you know, acting like you're drunk or something. And not understanding what's happening, because it hasn't happened to them, but it definitely happened to you. And you now, all of a sudden, have this overwhelming sense that peace will reign in my life because of what Jesus has done. That is, again, something that God has given us. Just given us because of the love that He has. Another one I have is that he tells us that we are now complete. What does that mean, complete? Well, are we at the end of the chapter? Doran says, no, we are chapter 67 of the Bible. So it's not that, but there's something else about being complete. Remember, God made us, right? And He made us in what? In His image. And if we aren't holding to that image, then we really are incomplete. Because we haven't accepted God, then our bodies are they're always in agony, always in struggling, always going through these things. And we never have this peace. We never have this grace that has been given to us. So because Jesus came, we can now be considered complete, made whole, the way God has intended us to be. There's no longer this struggling for some future event because we have what we need now. There's no longer this wanting for something because we have what we need now. I remember baptism that we had a couple of weeks ago. It always reminds me back of my baptism and stuff, that I wanted to be baptized for the longest time. Never was. It's always been in my mind. I need to be baptized. I even asked Hope one time, will you baptize me? And she's like, no, I can't do that sort of thing. You know? When we were at the Fowler Church, you know, I got baptized, and I remember the moment that I was baptized, all of a sudden, it was like that wanting to be baptized was completely gone. There was a completeness that happened in my life right then and there. I have no desire to be baptized again. I feel complete in that sense, right? And it's that's what I'm talking about in that sense of it. Let's look at some scripture here. In 1 John 4:16-18, it says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Thank you.
So we're loving creatures of a loving God.
Yep, pretty much end of story on that one, isn't it? So the love that we share, guess what, does not have to be rationed out. There's lots of love there. Right, you can love everyone fully, just as God loves everyone fully. And you know, and he shows himself to be able to do that. And so we can, you know, live without fear because of being made complete from God's love. We need God's love to be complete. You are always going to feel incomplete without his love. And I think that's sometimes when we accept God, even for the first time, there's a fullness that comes into us, and we feel energized, we feel alive again, because we're made, like Fern says, into a new being, right? The old man is gone, the new is there, and there we stand before God, and we're just loving what he has for us, and how special that is. Also, we've got another one here, that he dwells among us. This is what he wants to do. This is his that eternal destiny of what all of this culmination stuff that God is doing, from the Old Testament to the future time when he comes back again. And this is really what it is. It's just that he's going to dwell with us. I'm going to go to this Revelation because it's the end of the book. And it's in other parts of Scripture too, but we're going to look at this one here. Revelation 21:3-4. And he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." This is what we have, is that God dwells with us. And there's going to be a new earth, a new heaven that'll be coming in, and there'll be like a new dwelling, but God is here now. Right? When people come through those doors, or people come into your home, or into your car, they should feel the presence of God. Why? Because you've invited God to be wherever you are. There should be a sense that's inside there that God is dwelling here. I know a church that called themselves the dwelling place, because that's where God dwells, you know, with his people. And it's kind of neat to be able to have that saying there, because that's what God has been able to do because of what Jesus did on the cross. How about this one over here? We get to share in God's goodness because of what Jesus did. And I'm going to go to some Old Testament Proverbs. And actually, this whole Proverbs chapter 2 is really good, but I didn't want to put it all in there. So I just took some of the verses. I took chapter 2, verse 1, 5, 9, 11, through and 20. But I want you to look at this here and to take what God has for us, right? My son, if you accept my words, right? So this is really what I understand is like if you accept me for who I am and believe upon what I say and that Jesus is the Son of God and that God, there is only one God out there and there's a Holy Spirit that's there, right? If you accept my words and store my commands within you, there's some results that go with that. First off, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge in God. Now, this is not the fear that we have in terms of being afraid. This is the fear in terms of the awesomeness of God and His greatness, which way over supersedes us. And it just holds us and kind of draws us in how special that is. It also says, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. That we're going to have a mind of discernment because we are no longer discerning based upon what the world tells us to discern upon. It's what God says we should be discerning this way and that way. And when we all have God's will, right, then we all act accordingly, right? We can find what is right and just. And it says for every good path. And I think what that basically means is that we all have, as Fern says, ages ago, we all have our own ministry to do. Right? And there's discernment that we have to do within that to be able to make sure that we're doing this. It says, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wow. Wisdom. Yeah, we're all smart. Why? Because we have God with us. And I don't just mean smart in the knowledge of being a master physicist understanding the universe. We're smart because we have God with us. Yeah. Right. Something to nourish off of. Yeah. We're smart because we understand the very principle of life in itself, that it originated by God. And if we deny that very thing, then we're saying that God's a liar. And that doesn't work so well. But when we accept that, right, we have that wisdom that enters our heart. We have the Holy Spirit that comes inside of us and He gives us guidance, right? He nudges us where we're supposed to go. Even when we are resisting, the Holy Spirit still comes forward and speaks and nudges and puts you on the right path. It says discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. That we are going to have a knowledge, right, by accepting who Jesus is and what He has done for us, that we're going to have a knowledge, we're going to have an understanding, we're going to have a strength, an authority to be able to do what He wants us to do. And you may say, well, I don't really know God that well. Well, do you know that God loves you? Yeah. Okay, then use that love. That will be your discerning factor right there. Are you doing things in love? We talked about that Gepi test. I keep bringing that up because there's certain things that are said that just really stick with me, and that was one of those. I keep mentioning it every couple months or something like that because it's really important to be able to do. You know, is the things you're doing, you know, pure and Pat, you remember probably better, pure and holy and you know, is it righteous? Is it sharing? You know, it's all those things that God's character that Jesus showed us what it is. Is it those things? If it is, then you're doing great. If it's not, and you know you've got that discerning heart that we just talked about here, you've got the discerning, well, I know I'm not supposed to, then don't do it. I know I shouldn't be thinking, then don't think that way. Right? That's that discerning part that God has given you. He's given you the wisdom to be able to do that. And that discretion will protect you from making bad choices. Well, what will my family think? It doesn't matter what they think. It's what God thinks. And we have to get through that to be able to get to it. Then he says this, thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. When you have one, when you accept his words, and that accepting is believing, and that believing is actually doing. I think Pastor Bob was talking about putting your faith in your feet or something like that. You're getting your feet to move in faith. That's what he's talking about during that time. And actually being able to do it. That we'll walk in the ways of good men, right? And keep the paths of righteousness. I think the last one that I've got is this one here. That we can carry on the work of Christ.
Book 67.
Yeah. Thank you, Doran. There's another thing that's going to stick now, right?
One more thing on that. The way I have always looked at that is 66 is a number of man. 67, 6 is a number of man, and 7 is
the number of God.
Oh, yeah. So that represents being the perfect man of God.
I like that. I like that. And maybe it goes along to just what we're saying right here, is that we can carry on the works of Christ. Right, Christ is no longer here. He is on the throne with, you know, right next to with God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that, you know, enters our heart, which is so, and God is all. So we say Jesus is in us. Yes, He is, because the Spirit of God is there. And it says we can carry on the works of Christ. Well, it's like, I am not Christ. No, nor is your righteousness you. But we have the righteousness of God. We have the grace of the gift of grace. Right, we have understanding, we have knowledge that is not our own, but it's God's. We have God's discernment that's inside there. We also have a peace that's inside of us. We've been made complete. We have the authority to preach the gospel. We have, after all, we know the character of God. We know that God is in us. Right? So how is it that we cannot continue on with God's work? That's here. Because Jesus was even speaking to the disciples. John 14:12-14, he says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Wow. Now, tell me some of the things that Jesus was doing. Just throw them out.
Healing.
Okay, so it's healing. What?
Raising the dead.
Yep, raising the dead. What else?
Casting out demons.
What am I going to do?
Praying.
Sorry?
He fed people,
yeah. Right, yeah. Sorry?
He saved people,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so that means that we're going to be able to continue on doing what He's doing. Not under our own power, but because of God living in us. And God's power continues to shine itself. But you see, Jesus doesn't even stop there, because it's like, you know, obviously we can't die on the cross for any individual. That's already been done by the perfect individual. But it does say that He will do, that He, being other ones, will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is a hard one for me. And I'm gonna be honest with you, right? You take Adam, for example. God, we pray that those tumors are gone, that you remove those. And we don't understand, right? Sometimes, you know, God might say no. We have to understand we're praying within His will. We can proclaim that and have the authority in which to be able to pray those very things. Sometimes we don't know. God doesn't speak about that.
That's why He's God and we're not.
Yes. And so we're humbled between, you know, the fact that we've got the ability to be able to ask God for anything. And He's here saying it, I will give it to you, you know, within the will of my Father.
And it doesn't say when you're healing.
No. No.
My sister struggled with it, with Keith, why he wasn't healed. And it just came to me one day when she was so hurt about it. You know, why wouldn't he do that? And I said just a thought that I had, Becky, and I don't know where it came from. Well, I think I do now. I said, he never said when he's going to heal anybody. Maybe because in heaven, there's supposedly no sickness. Maybe Keith's healing is going to be in heaven. Maybe you're going to get there and you're going to see him running around praising God at the top of his lungs when you know he's God.
Yeah, but Keith also had a ministry while he was here in his sickness, right?
Yep. He brought a lot of his family back to where they should.
Yeah. So how was that someone like Keith could do that? Well, it's the power of God in him to be able to do that sort of thing. So God wasn't done with him yet. And he may, like you said, may not have healed him physically, but there was a healing in him and healing through him because of his belief in God. Yeah. So we continue to pray, and we don't know how God answers, but God will answer. God does answer. Scripture says right here. We just want it to be a certain way. But we really have to understand that we need it the way God wants it to be done. And we trust God. To wait on Him. And however He needs it to be done, but He wants us to pray and He wants us to do it. We will do even greater things than Him. That's powerful. Because God is in us, the same Spirit that was in Jesus is in us, and that is God, and wow. Why did Jesus come to this world? To save us. Right? And there's so much more that comes with it. This picture is not complete in terms of all the things that Jesus has done. Because you know why? Just like Doran keeps going on in chapter 67, is that God is still working in our lives today. God is alive. And we're here to experience that. We're here to share that and to let others know of that love that we have for Him. Amen? Amen. Lord, I just thank You for this day. Thank You for this word of turning to what Jesus has done for us. It's countless. Every breath that we take is a blessing. Everything that we can take in our eyes is a blessing. And when we can share that with others, we have, I guess, maybe no concept of how important that is, because we just expect really quick responses. But an act of love will plant the seed that God will eventually be able to make grow when the time is right. Father, I thank You for sending Your Son to this earth as a human. And though He had to die on a cross, I thank You for that. Because so much comes from His death that we have a hard time comprehending the abundance of goodness. But we get these samplings and we just thank You for that, Lord, because that's what kind of spurs us on and keeps us going. Jesus is our victor. Jesus made this happen by obeying His Father and sharing all of this while He was here and even afterwards. We thank You for Your word, Lord, and we pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.